Great to see everybody today. Welcome to part two in the sermon series, Talking to Jesus. And that's what this series is all about. It's about prayer. It's about communicating to God. It's about talking to God. You don't need a priest to talk to God. You don't need to be perfect to talk to God. You don't need to be problem-free to talk to God. God invites all of us to talk to him. Isn't that beautiful? God invites you and God invites me to talk to him. And my hope and prayer for you is that you grow in your relationship with God by growing in talking with Jesus. So if you're not talking with Jesus, my encouragement for you is to start talking to him. If you have been talking to him, my prayer for you is that you continue to talk to him more, that you keep talking to him more, because in Christ is everything you need. In Christ are the answers to what you're going through. God has the answers. God has the solutions. God is your God. God is your Savior. God is your King. We just got to create space and find a place to talk to him. So we're doing that. I know my wife mentioned every Wednesday night at TC at 7, but we're also adding Thursday morning at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. here at the church. We want to encourage you to talk to Jesus with others as well. So come on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8, and come on Thursday mornings if you're available from 10 to 11 right here in this room. Use the office entrance at 10 a.m. This week. So today's topic is called The Audacity of Prayer. That's what I want to talk to you about. The audacity of prayer. And last week we looked at Luke chapter 11. Last week's message was called, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we saw that Jesus was praying. Jesus modeled to us a life of prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus was a person of prayer. And in Luke 11, verse 1, he says, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's been the heart of this series. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Help me to understand prayer. I also take note that Jesus chose disciples that didn't know how to pray. Isn't that great? Like you don't need to know how to pray to follow Jesus. You just need to be willing to learn how to pray when you follow Jesus. And that's what his disciples did. They said, Lord, teach me to pray. Then they went through the Our Father in heaven. And we broke that down last week, all the segments. And in verse 5, that's where we want to pick off today. I'm going to pick up from that verse 5. Because then he goes on, after he says the Lord's Prayer to them, verse 5, it says, then Jesus said to them. All right? By the way, take notes, take pictures, because we're going to learn to pray. We're in school. We're in Bible class. Is that all right? If you want to learn to pray, this is how you're going to learn to pray. We're going to teach you. And this is what Jesus was teaching, our master, right? He says, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friends, lend me 3 loaves of bread. So it's important to read this story and envision yourself in it. So suppose someone came to your house last night at midnight. How many were asleep at midnight? Right? Banged on the door. First of all, you're thinking, who is it? What does this person want? What is this person doing here? And they open the door. It's your friend. And they say, yo, Joe, what's up? Bro, do you have 3 loaves of bread? How many will give him a knuckle sandwich instead of bread? I'll give you a knuckle sandwich for bread. So this is what he said. Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Now, this is a story Jesus is telling to teach a spiritual truth. Verse 6, he says, a friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me, I have no food to offer him. Okay? In verse 7, he says, and suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, for the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. That's most of us, right? What are you doing? Go home, bro. Hannaford's open. Go to the gas station. Bro, really? Bread? Come on, bro. I'm sleeping. My kids are sleeping. Don't wake them up. They're probably little. And here he says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of what? Your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, what? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. The audacity of prayer. When I hear the word audacity, to me, and probably to you, it does not have a positive connotation. In other words, we use the word audacious or audacity in sentences like this. You have the audacity to call me on my phone after you went around talking about me to other people. How many have ever heard of that or said that before, right? Or you have the audacity to come over my house again and ask for money when you still haven't paid me back the $100 I gave you last time. When we use the word audacity, most of the time it's not used in a positive way. But in this passage of Scripture, we read Jesus using the word audacity in describing prayer. And he gives us the story of this man who goes to this home and knocks on the door and has the audacity to go to this man's house in the middle of the night and ask for bread. But Jesus pointed something out in this passage, that if you're going to be a person of prayer, you must also be a person of faith. And not just cautious faith, but audacious faith. Because prayer and faith go together. Jesus said, when you pray, and when you ask, and when you talk to him with faith, believing that he hears and that he's going to answer. The term shameless audacity conveys the idea of audacious faith. That word audacity means beyond, daring, right? Courageous, without borders. That's what audacity means, without limits, without concern about what the other person's going to think. Jesus in this passage is saying, when you go to him and pray, don't just talk to him without faith. Talk to him with faith, but not just ordinary faith, audacious faith. So Jesus invites us to talk to him. Jesus invites us to pray. And he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you. But when you ask, don't ask, which is any old faith. Ask with audacious faith. Ask and pray with shameless audacity. This is what James tells us in James 1:8. He says, but when you ask, notice Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. We get an opportunity to talk to Jesus and ask. But he says, but when you ask, you must what? Believe and what, church? Not doubt. Let's say that again. But when you ask, you must and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. What are the scriptures telling us today? What is Jesus telling us in this story? Jesus is saying to us, I'm inviting you to come to me and talk to me. I'm inviting you to ask, seek, and knock. But when you ask, you better have big ask faith. Come on, church. So y'all were sleeping until that moment right now. Come on, church. You better ask with some big ask faith. Come on, church. That's what Jesus is saying. We all have to have big ask faith. When we go to God, we got to believe. We got to walk into the throne room with God with some shameless audacity, with some courage, with some intestinal fortitude, understanding and knowing that when we approach the throne of grace, we're approaching a God that can do the impossible, that has no limits, that has no boundaries, that has all power and all authority against sickness and disease and finances and powers and principalities of darkness. We're not approaching a God who's weak, who's disabled, who doesn't have ability, who's not courageous. We're approaching a God who can move mountains, who can raise the dead, who can part the sea, who created something out of nothing. We are approaching a God who heals, who delivers, who sets free. I want you to think about it for a moment. What impossibility you're facing today. I want you to think about what you're struggling with today. I want you to think about the challenges you're facing today. And I want you to know something, that there is no problem too big that God cannot solve. There is no mountain too great that God cannot move. There is no difficulty that God cannot intervene in. Somebody tweet this, there's no bill that God cannot pay. But some of us walk around not with audacious faith, with cautious faith. Because we're afraid to believe because we don't want to become disappointed. You know what I'm learning? I'm not in charge of the results. God just asked me to pray in faith. That's my job. Pray in faith. Let God deal with the results. But in this passage, God is asking us to pray in faith, believing that he can and he will. Listen to Hebrews. It's all throughout scripture, but listen to some of these verses. And what, church? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now he's talking about prayer. Because anyone who comes to him in prayer must what, church? Believe that not only he exists, but that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. God is a rewarder of those who ask. God is a rewarder of those who come in faith. God wants us to demonstrate and have shameless audacity when it comes to our prayer life. So let me ask you this question. What word best describes your prayers? Audacious or cautious? Today's message is more focused. Last week we talked about the structure of prayer. Today we're talking about praying for specific things in our lives. When we're praying for specific things, what describes your prayer life? Audacious or cautious? Because we're all going through specific things, aren't we? We're all going through specific challenges and specific difficulties. And when we're praying for specific things, God wants us to pray with big-ass faith. He wants us to pray believing that with him nothing is impossible. Think about think about the idea of prayer, that God of heaven allows a human being to influence his thinking. That God in the heavens allows a human being to influence his hand. But that's the power of prayer. The power of prayer is that you and I, who are human beings, can talk to the Almighty, eternal God and influence his hand to move on our behalf. Oh, y'all not getting this today. Y'all didn't come to church ready for this. This one might be a little too much for y'all today. I'm still probably recovering from the ribs we had yesterday or the food, at the, whatever it was. But come on, think about it, prayer. That we don't have to pray. We get to pray. God invites us into the throne room of God. And God invites us. And then when he says, when you come, he's the one that says, when you come, you better not come in here. You better not come in here with all your doubts. You better not come in here thinking that. You better come in here knowing who you're talking to. When you approach me, you better know who you're talking to. We're talking to a God who said, let there be light. He created light. How much faith must you have? Because some of us don't have a lot of faith. Am I right? Been through some stuff in life and we're struggling with faith. But I love this because Jesus gives us a picture of the kind of faith we need to have. What does big ask faith look like? And Jesus tells us in Matthew 17, he says, truly I tell you, if you have what? Faith as small as a mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move for what? Come on, church. What? Nothing will be impossible for you. Is this the word of God? Is the word of God true? Then how come we struggle to believe it? Because this is not about religion. It's about talking to Jesus and about talking to him in faith, believing for something specific in your life. What are you believing God for? Are you talking to Jesus about your marriage? Are you talking to Jesus about your kids? Are you talking to Jesus about your finances? Are you talking to Jesus about that problem, about the health issue, about the difficulties? Because I have a news flash for you. God moves when we pray. God moves when we pray. God responds, but not just pray. Pray in faith, believing that he is who he said he was. And when we pray, nothing will be impossible for you. I want to move along, but this is just so good, isn't it? Nothing will be impossible for you. What impossibilities are you facing? What mountains are you facing? What addictions are you facing? What struggles are you facing? For with God, the word of God says, with God, all things are possible. So we read a story in the Old Testament of a man who had big ask faith. One of my favorite stories, his name is Joshua. And Joshua crossed the Jordan, and he's beginning to possess the land in the Old Testament. If you don't know Joshua, it's the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua is the sixth book of the Bible. And this is after the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Moses dies. Joshua takes the leadership role of the people, crosses the Jordan, and the first place he possesses is Jericho. The walls of Jericho. He walked around seven times and the walls fell. Now he's beginning to possess the promise. So in this particular passage, in the beginning of this book, in Joshua chapter 10, we read of Joshua. He's possessing the land, and the Gibeonites made a peace treaty with Israel. And by making that peace treaty with Israel, they became Israel's allies. So if you attacked the Gibeonites, you were attacking Israel. So the Amorites heard about this and decided to attack the Gibeonites because Gibeon was an important city. There was five Amorite kings, and they decided to come around and attack the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites sent word. Y'all still following me? Okay, could be a little confusing with the ites, but the Gibeonites sent a text message to Joshua and said, "We're being attacked." So Joshua responded immediately and said, "I'm on my way." And we pick up the story in Joshua chapter 10, verse 8. And I love this because this is what this starts. It says, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid of them, for I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you.'" First of all, Joshua was human and struggled with discouragement. He struggled with discouragement. He struggled with fear. That's why God encourages him not to be afraid. Are you following me, this church? I love that, how God just opens up and says, "Don't be afraid. I know they're coming at you. I just want to tell you that the enemy that's coming after you, you don't need to be afraid. Because the Spirit of God that is for you is far greater than what's coming against you. The Spirit of God in you is far greater than what's coming against you. So don't be afraid. There might seem to be a battle around you. There might be a lot of turmoil and attacks around you. There might be spiritual warfare around you. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because I will give them into your hand. And not one of them will be able to withstand you. Against you." So he decides to go at night and all night march and go to Gibeon and do like a sneak attack. And after an all night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. He shows up. Surprise! Y'all thought y'all were going to win this battle, right? But how many know? We know who fights our battles, right? The battle belongs to the Lord. So here we go, Joshua 10:9. It took them by surprise. And this next verse says, "The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel." By the way, pause. The Lord is about to throw into confusion all that the enemy's trying to do around you. Just keep note of that. When the enemy comes against you, this is what prayer does. Prayer confuses the work of the enemy. God is not the author of confusion. The enemy is, and sometimes the enemy will be confused. That's what God does when he's fighting your battles. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makeda. Verse 11, "And as they fled before Israel on the road down to Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled hailstones down on them." I love that. The Lord got involved. He says, "This is fun." Whoosh, whoosh. "And more of them died from the hail than were killed by the sword." But check this out. Y'all ready? This is not where it ends. "And on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord," Joshua prayed, right? That's what that means. In the presence of Israel. "And praise, son, stand still." Who the hey does Joshua think he is? Praying for the sun to stand still. You talk about audacity. Joshua's in the battle, and he has the audacity. To pray. For the sun to stand still. What was going on? The battle was raging. the mission wasn't complete. The sun began to set, and Joshua had a choice. He could have gave up. He could have walked away. He could have ran. He would have failed his mission. But that's not Joshua. If you know Joshua, that's not Joshua. Joshua was a mighty man of courage, mighty man of faith. And he said, I'm not going to allow the sun to set. I'm going to pray to the sun that the sun would stand still until the mission is complete. And when he prayed, oh my goodness, the sun stood still. And the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, that it was written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down for about a full week. And listen to what it says in verse 14. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Joshua was a human being, and God listened to a human being. And I'm here today, if God listened to Joshua, God will listen to you. And I'm wondering, as you look at the challenges you're facing, I wonder if you're looking at the sun begin to set in your life. There's the sun is setting in some areas of your life. Maybe you see the sun setting in the area of your marriage. Maybe you see the sun setting in the area of your finances. These are general areas. Where is the sun beginning to set in your life? And the temptation is to just see the sun set and say, you know what? It is what it is. But I wonder how many have the shameless audacity to pray sun stand still prayers. That regardless of what you see, that regardless of what's going on around you, there is a God who is powerful enough to cause the sun to stand still. Now, if you know anything about, what do you call that? Planets. Astronomy, right? Thank you. I didn't do good in science. Is this correct? The sun doesn't orbit around the earth. Is that true? The earth orbits around the sun. Joshua didn't even know what he was praying. God didn't stop the sun. God stopped the earth because one human being prayed. One. How many know that that's big ask faith? And I'm just wondering that God wants to do. See, sometimes God does things because he wants to do them. There are other times God does things because he's waiting for you to pray. I wonder if things are just about to happen. God wants to perform miracles in your life, but he's waiting for you to pray. Not just with cautious faith, but with audacious faith. Pray. God, I claim your word. I believe in the promises of your word, that it is your will that everyone come to know you. So I pray in the name of Jesus that my children come to know you, that my husband comes to know you, that my spouse comes to know you, that my wife comes to know you, that my parents come to know you. Come on, how many know that when you pray in faith, believing, it will be done? I know some of you are thinking, well, does that mean I can pray for anything? You can, but the scriptures are clear that when you pray according to his will. It shall be done. But I don't think praying according to the will of God is the biggest problem. I think when it comes to prayer, it's our faith that's our biggest challenge. It's believing. Believing that God can and will and is faithful to perform that which he has promised. That he who's begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Surely, it's never been a day like it that the Lord listened to a human being. I wonder how many have the audacity to pray sun stand still prayers over that particular situation that you're facing in your life. Not these cautious prayers. And I know when we come to praying for the Lord's will, we know it's God's will that we need to pray for. And sometimes we pray, Lord, if it's your will, as a way out. And there are times to pray that. But now is not one of those times. You see, Joshua knew his calling. He knew what God called him to do. He knew his purpose, and he prayed with shameless audacity. And that's what God wants for you, to pray with shameless audacity and believe God to change your circumstances. There's a pastor friend of mine. Y'all probably know him, Adrian Schoonmaker. I don't know if you know him. He's preached here many times. His wife is in the battle of her life. Like, I can't even begin to express the 3-month, 6-month struggle they have been, no more than that, 8-month struggle. Her immune system is attacking her. And she experiences burns all over her body. We're not praying, Lord, if it's your will. We're praying for the sun to stand still over her life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we believe it is God's will for him to heal. We believe it's God's will that she lives, not dies. We believe God's will by faith that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. What impossibility are you facing? That God wants you to pray. But when you pray, you believe. In Jesus' name. Y'all get the point? Let's bow our heads. Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you that you listen to human beings like us. Thank you that we respond. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us to ask. Lord, make us great people of prayer. Make us people that pray. Make us people that believe. Help us, Lord. For every person you give a measure of faith, please, Lord, let us use the measure you have given to us. Oh, God, whatever we're going through, whatever people are going through in this room or watching online, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will begin to pray for those situations, that we begin to pray for those who are sick, pray for those that are going through challenges, pray for miracles, pray for signs and wonders, pray for complete healings. Lord, we believe, God, for the impossible. We're trusting you, God, to turn things around. Lord, we come to you and pray, and we ask that you make us people of great faith that pray. Pray for our children. Pray for our loved ones. Pray for our family. Pray for Joyce, God, in the name of Jesus. Can we pray for her today? Can we just demonstrate big ask faith? Lord, it's not too much to ask. Would you heal this woman? 8 months. Heal her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We will persist. We will come knocking on the door at midnight to pray. Your word says that you will respond because of the shameless audacity. So, Lord, we pray. We pray for those who are struggling today. Pray for those who need a touch from you. We pray for revival. We pray for our city. We pray for this region. We pray for New York State. We pray for the Northeast. Lord, we pray, we pray, we pray. We ask that you respond, not to our prayers, but to our faith. In Jesus' name. And everybody together said, amen.